Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Very strategically, Purple Rain during our meet and greet thing, not only just because it's raining out, but I'm a fan of insignificant trivia. So I don't know if you knew this about the song Purple Rain. Do you know it originally was written as a country music song? How weird is that, huh? And it wasn't originally written for Prince. He wrote it for Stevie Nicks of Fleetwood Mac. And when he presented the song to her, she just got overwhelmed and didn't think she could pull it off. And so she bounced it back to Prince, who after a few hours of just recording and tinkering with his band, produced what you and I know as Purple Rain. And aren't you glad you came this morning, right? The reason why I mention that is because it's going to get me to the year 2007, Super Bowl 41 in Miami, Florida, whereby we witnessed the greatest halftime show ever, okay? I don't want to hear Beyonce, Bruno Mars, God help us, Coldplay. No, it was Prince at the halftime show in Miami, Florida. And if you don't remember, it was the Monsters of the Midway, the Chicago Bears, led by Rex Grossman. And if you're asking yourself, who's Rex Grossman? Exactly, all right? And then they were taking on the Indianapolis Colts, led by soon-to-be Hall of Famer Peyton Manning. Not the other Manning, Eli, with two Super Bowls, but Peyton, who had zero at the time. What happened, if you remember, the Bears were very heavy underdogs. But at the kickoff, Indy kicks off to Chicago. Devin Hester receives the kick, and he runs it all the way to the end zone for a touchdown. But Indianapolis is unmoved and unfazed, and Peyton's like, not on my watch. He gets under center, and if you remember, in the pouring rain, he leads them back in a comeback in Indianapolis. Peyton wins his first Super Bowl MVP and Super Bowl trophy, 29-17. Over the Chicago Bears. But all that paled in comparison to the halftime show. If you recall, it was raining 1,000 times worse than this. Like it can only rain in southern Florida. And as the buckets of rain are pouring down, it's about 30 minutes before halftime, and the producers of the halftime show, they called Prince and they're like, are you sure you want to do this? Because it is a torrential tropical storm out there. And he says, oh, it's raining? Let's hope it rains even harder. And he says, I'm up for it. And so sure enough, what happens, he takes to the stage, and if you remember, and it's pouring rain, and then for the next 15 minutes, somehow, some way, he transforms or just takes away 100,000 people where they no longer remember it's raining, or even better, many of them embraced the rain that was taking place. And do you guys remember the last song of that set? Purple rain, right? And the whole crowd's kind of going nuts. And it was just a moment, right? And then it was so captivating that the executive producer, when they interviewed him, they said, how cool is it that there's one guy can stand in front of 100 million people around the world, and life, Mother Nature, is just pouring out rain, working against him, and he stands up in the middle of all those people, and he was just Prince. And then he says this quote, what I thought was so cool, and this will lead us into our word this morning. He says, we've just witnessed something very special today. And in the same way, we're going to witness something very special by another songwriter. He's a one-hit wonder. His name is Habakkuk, all right? You want to say it with me? It's actually fun to say. Habakkuk, all right, Habakkuk. So he's a minor prophet in the Bible, and that doesn't mean he's like B-team. It means he's got a smaller book of the Bible. And Habakkuk, it's great. If you're looking for a good read, it's only 3 chapters long. Can you be like, man, I read a book of the Bible. 3 chapters long. The third chapter, the entire chapter, is a song written by the artist formerly known as Habakkuk, all right? And that's what he does. If I can give you the, we're going to look at Habakkuk chapter 3 today. And before we get there, I need to give you the backdrop because we're in a series called Casket Empty. You know what I noticed too? I noticed that I talk with my hands a lot. So I hope this is not too distracting. If I was to tie my hands up, I don't think I could speak anymore. But the backdrop is this. Remember we touched last week that Israel, it divided into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. We touched last week about the northern kingdom, and all their kings were wicked until finally God says, I've had it up to here with you. I'm going to judge your nation. And the Assyrians come in, and they wipe out the northern kingdom. The southern kingdom has good kings sprinkled in here and there, but for the most part are depraved. And because there were some good kings that would lead to reform and repentance, it stayed God's hand for a season. But what happens is Israel looked no different than the nations. There was prostitution. There was crime. There was oppression of the poor. There was child sacrifice. All these things going on until finally the prophet Habakkuk, he has a beef with God. He's like, listen, God, how can you stand around in all this injustice taking place in your kingdom? Where are you? Are you asleep at the wheel? And so I don't know if you've ever thought those thoughts or even voiced those words. But Habakkuk did. And he says, God responds. And I don't know, you got to be prepared. God might not answer you the way you want him to answer you. Because he answers Habakkuk and God says, oh, I'm going to handle the sin and the injustice taking place. You see, what I'm going to do, in a matter of a few years, I'm going to raise up the Babylonians, otherwise known as the Chaldeans, and they're going to come in, and they're going to take over the southern kingdom, and they're going to lead you into exile. And guess what? You should be happy about this. E is exile in our Casket Empty series, okay? And so that's how we got there. But for today, we're going to talk about Habakkuk. So Habakkuk is just confused in this moment. Like, God, how could you have an unjust, wicked people judge your people? We're unjust, but we're not that unjust. And so Habakkuk's beef even ratchets up against God. And so I don't know if you've ever felt that before. But then somehow, chapters 1 and 2, that Habakkuk and God, they wrestle, they fight, they argue. And then we get to chapter 3, and we get this fairly famous verse from the book, the song of Habakkuk. It's found in Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. And it reads like this. It says, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Do you see that somehow he gets from this argument with God, and he's able to get himself centered in the joy of the Lord? And the scripture's clear that the joy of the Lord, it's our strength. It's the thing that strengthens us through difficult times. Like, happiness is, it's fleeting. It's very fragile. Like, we can be happy because, like, circumstances can make us happy or sad, but they're out of our control. Joy, it's a decision of the will, the mind, that strengthens the heart. And that thing, you become invincible when you can get the joy of the Lord upon your life. And so that's where we're going here. And so, Lord, I pray you give us great grace this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. So let's talk about Habakkuk's complaint. Has anyone ever had a complaint against God? Nobody? Just me. All right. A few of us, a few bold people, right? And so have you ever been frustrated by the way God's running the universe? Have you ever been disappointed with God? God, you were supposed to do this, and you did this. So just a quick story. I'm sure I've shared it before, but when I was playing in the NHL, it was my last year. I got hit during a game, actually right over here in Madison Square Gardens, and then I ruptured a disc in my back. Tried to play in Long Island against the Islanders, blew the disc out, and so I got drop foot, so I couldn't skate anymore, which was amusing. And then had a bunch of back surgeries. through complications, I got a number of different staph infections. And so I was on vancomycin is a antibiotic or something like that. So I'm on vancomycin. I have a port installed in my chest. But I went to a worship conference, our Every Nation Worship Conference on the West Coast, because I need a word from heaven. I need to hear from God. I'm going to come back. And so I was full of faith, and there's a man who flows in the prophetic in our movement. And I remember asking him, like, hey, I never do this, but could you just listen to God throughout the week? And if you get a word for me, let me know. I never heard from him the entire conference. And I'm like, well, guess I'm not getting a word from God. And as I'm getting in my cab to go to the airport, fly back home, he flags me down. Adam, I got a word for you. It's going to be sooner than later. And he leaves. I'm like, yes, God, hallelujah, I'm coming back. It's going to be sooner than I expected. It's going to be a sign and wonder. People, I'm going to testify to you, God. And then sure enough, it was sooner than later. I could no longer play hockey, and I was forced to retire, and I was thrust into the ministry, all right? But here's the thing that got me. So I'm loving my wife, preaching the gospel to my teammates, and I get the staph infection. Like my other teammates, they're sleeping around on their wives. One guy was beating his wife, and I get the staph infection. I had a complaint against God. I'm like, are you kidding me? And listen, I don't think I'm the only one. You look at the Bible, James, Peter, James, and John, they were the big three. That was Jesus' boys. Wherever Jesus did anything, his boys came with them. And so you're just, you know, Peter, man, he was the leader of the early church, and he was a man. And John, he was the apostle of love. He would write the last book, the book of Revelation. Man, what part does James get to play in the story? Well, if you read the book of Acts, Jesus ascends, and then the next time we hear from James, you know what it is? Herod cut off James's head, and he died. That's his part in the story. You ever have a beef with God? How about the Apostle Paul serving God, just preaching the gospel, winds up getting stoned, beaten, thrown in jail, in chains. He's taking a boat. What happens? Storm comes, destroys the boat. Now he's going to drown in the ocean. God spares him. Praise God. He washes up on the shore. He starts to make a fire on the shore. Viper, a snake comes out and bites him. Like, at what point are you like, give me a break, God, right? Cut me a slack here or something like that. And lest this becomes like too much of a story, this is fresh for me, is there's a couple in our church, I won't say their names, but they've been believing God for a child forever. And they've done in vitro, they've done all these things, and it, time and time again, it's loss, 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 until I can feel the rage inside of this woman who so dearly wants to have a child. And through all that, I can feel her getting furious at God, because God could fix it, and he's not. Until finally she gets her heart ready, we're going to adopt a child. And now they're excited about adopting, and just this past 2 weeks, they've been down in New Orleans because the baby was born to a woman who struggles with addiction. She was actually currently in prison. And so all that's going on. And as they get down there, she changed her mind. And so they were trying to reason and go through different things for 2 weeks. And now if God doesn't do something, that child is going to be with the mother of the addict, and they're not getting their baby. And so do we have moments like this sometimes? Aren't you glad you came to church today? Debbie Downer, pastor, again. But here's, I think, what's so important is Habakkuk is going to get from being frustrated and disappointed, and he's going to get himself to joy, and we can get there. And here, I believe you have three options when God disappoints, frustrates. I believe there's three things you can do. One is this. You can just bolt. Like, flip God the bird and just like, I'm out. You're going to do me that way, I'm going to do you this way. And then just leave. I think another thing you could do is this. You can pretend, right? You can just kind of put on the face and pretend like God hasn't hurt you and disappointed you, and you can kind of go through the religious motions. Here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to wall off sections of your heart little by little until eventually it grows hard towards God, and eventually you'll wind up falling away from the faith. But there's a third option, and that's this. You can embrace God and wrestle with him. Here's what's, didn't Jesus do that in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, God, if there's any other way, I don't want to do it this way. But he embraced the Father. He wrestled with the Father three times in prayer. And he leaves that garden. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Right? And so the name Habakkuk, it means to embrace and to wrestle. And that's what our prophet is going to do today. And so it's interesting. There's been people throughout history that have embraced God and wrestled. How many have heard of C.S. Lewis? I talk about him often. And, you know, as a he's a prolific writer, unbelievable stuff, except I always got to read it like three or four times because I don't understand what he's talking about. And he does a piece, a book called The Problem of Pain. And it was a philosophical look at pain and suffering in the world and how God uses it for his good and for his glory. Very heady. But then he lost his wife, Joy, to cancer, and now suddenly he wrote another book, A Grief Observed, a very, very different book, because he had experienced it, and on the pages he was pouring out his frustration with God. How could this happen? On and on he goes. And in fact, he was so embarrassed of how raw the book was, he wrote it under a pseudonym. He didn't use his name. He wrote it as N.W. Clerk was his name. And get this, as C.S. Lewis is processing his sorrow, one of his friends gave him his own book. He says, hey, this N.W. Clerk has got a good book about suffering, and he gives him his own book. And so that's what takes place. But he was able to get from embracing God, wrestling with God, to getting to the other side of resting in joy. And that's where we want to go. And so Habakkuk, he embraces God. Let's look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. It says this. It says, behold, his soul is puffed up. It's not upright within him. Once again, this is the lyrics to the song. Here's the money verse. But the righteous shall live by his faith. The righteous shall live by his faith. That verse should sound familiar to you because it's quoted often in your New Testament. And so how do we embrace God? It's just like, I don't want you to go, yeah, we embrace God. And we have no idea what that means. And so here's what I think it looks like. So have you ever paid attention to people, how they embrace and how they hug? I'm a creepy pastor, so I need to observe these things, all right? And so here's just some of my observation. Men, you'll feel me on this. So as men, ladies, this is how we hug. We're gonna embrace hands, and then we're going to do the arm bar down low like this that keeps us away from touching chests, and then we're going to do the pat on the back, all right? You got that, men? We all good here? That's the way that goes. At one point, I had a guy break the code, and the guy in our church in the city is real tall, about 6'5", and he would hug me, but he would embrace me, and he would cradle the back of my head. He did this time and time again until finally I said, hey, man, don't cradle my head. You're making me feel like a girl. And he's never done it since. So that was good. There's another one I call the guy-girl 24. And the guy-girl 24 is when a guy and a girl, they don't really know each other. They're trying to be proper, but they don't want to be cold and just a handshake. So they lean in, they go around, but there's 24 inches away between the waist like that. And so that's how that one goes. Ladies, I'm sure you've used this move before. I call it the Heisman hug, where you get an overzealous male wanting to get in there, and you shoot him right away, boom, handshake, right? You go that way. It's like the Heisman. And so... as God is my witness, Sam's not here today, so we could talk about him. His girlfriend came to worship night, and I had met her before. Her name's Maureen, sweet, sweet girl. And then we'd met one time, so I wasn't sure where I stood in the whole hug, handshake scenario. And so we did the lunge like that, and then we both shot the hands out, and then we realized we needed to reach in and embrace. And then the cherry on the top, we went European, like that, all right? So that was pretty incredible, but I'm sure there's several more. I look forward to your emails and texts on what I'm missing. But listen, have you ever been embraced by somebody who's in pain? I mean, in the grips of despair and sorrow, like their life is unraveling, and they just grab onto you for dear life. Like it's the kind of embrace where, like, you don't worry about what's couth, what's correct. You just forget it all, and you just hang on to one another. It's one of those things where you're like, I don't know when we're going to let go, but this is kind of okay. See, that's the way we cling to God, by faith. That's the way we cling to him. And so when you're disoriented, when you're confused about what God's doing, we follow what Habakkuk said. He says that the righteous shall live, or it can literally be said, you'll find life by faith. And faith is clinging to God. When you question, God, do you love me? Do you see me? That's when you cling to Christ in the cross. That's the one thing that never changes. Like, circumstances may change in our life, but the cross is always there for us to cling to. And God, I'm not letting go of the love I've received from you in the cross of Christ. It's unchanging, and it's the foundation of joy for us. There's a guy, Martin Luther, a great Protestant reformer. This was a revelation to him. What happened was his testimony is like this. He was in a storm similar today, except there was lightning flashing everywhere. He was terrified. He didn't think he was going to live through it. And so what happens is he cut a deal with God. Anyone ever been there before? God, if you get me out of this, I promise I will give to Big Give or do whatever, right? And so that's what he does. He says, God, if you get me out of this, I'll become a monk. And sure enough, God got him out of it. So he became a monk. And as he was there, he was overwhelmed with the shame of falling short of the glory of God. And so he practiced what was known then as penance. That may sound like an archaic term. Many of you are guilty of penance. In other words, I've done this against God, so now I'll just make myself suffer a little bit. I'll cut myself off from him, and I'll earn back the favor of God. That is diametrically opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he would walk upstairs on his knees until they bled. He would stand knee-deep in freezing cold snow with no shoes and no sandals on in order to do penance to God until the revelation of this verse hit him, that the righteousness of God is obtained, embraced by faith, and faith alone. And that is the good news of the gospel. But so that's how we embrace God. But how do we go from embracing then to wrestling? I'm glad you asked, because that's the next part of my notes. Here's what I think. I think we need to wrestle to revive our relationship with God. So let me read for you Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2. Habakkuk says this, O Lord, I have heard the report of you and your work. O Lord, do I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. Over all these years, God, he says, revive it. He goes on and says, in the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember your mercy. And so can we agree that there's moments in life, like especially if you've been in a relationship for a long time, we can get stale. How much more our relationship with Jesus Christ? And so I'll share this with you. I mentioned to you last week it was my wife's birthday, right? October 14th. She turned 51. I'm still 50. I was like, to make that clear. I don't know what it is, Cher. I've always been drawn to older women. So that's what, she's not here right now, so praise God. Hopefully she's not Facebook Live. So we sat down, and I had this illustration for her. This was just part of her birthday gift. But I got her this vase. She likes this Mackenzie Child stuff. Men, if your wife ever gets drawn to this, run, okay? So we got this, and I got this flower. And so, as you can know, like, I hope you know there's no checkerboard flowers, right? This is fake. But I let her know, I was like, baby, I want to show you this. And so this is our relationship. And I said, this is 30 years ago that you and I had a covenant of marriage with one another. And I was like, babe, this is a commitment. This is a covenant, and this is never changing. This is not swayed by feelings or circumstances. This one I'm anchored in with you. And then I took out a real flower, and I told her this, and I said, but baby, this needs to be worked on. And this is something we need to refresh and renew our relationship. And so every week I need to get a flower just to replace it and to remind me to refresh my love and my relationship with you. And as I did that, it was funny, to which she replied, where did you get that? You did not think of that by yourself, right? So that's how it rolls in my family. But here's what I will say, though, is this. This is very much our relationship with God. Listen, you're saved by grace through faith. No one and nothing can snatch you from the love of God. but our relationship with God is something that needs to be cultivated and worked on. I promise you this, if you approach Jesus like a religion, you will be disappointed, disenchanted, and you will just run away. But if you approach him as a relationship and as a person to be cultivate relationship with, you'll thrive. It'll be better than you imagined, better than you expected. And so, Jesus, well, I won't get into that, but here's what you can't do. You can't approach your faith like, hey, do's and don'ts, do's and don'ts. That's not the Christian faith. The Christian faith is, man, no, reviving my relationship with God. And as you begin to do that, you do the do's and don'ts. Why? Not because you have to, but because you love Jesus, right? And that's the way you do that. Jesus, or David would say this in the Psalms, and I think it's a good prayer for many of us. He says, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. I think that's a good prayer for us this morning. And then lastly is this, we need to wrestle to remember the goodness and the faithfulness of God. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Bible, but the Bible actually describes some of the heavenly realms and what's taking place. And there's points where they revealed that there's these angelic creatures called the cherubim and the seraphim. And their wings, they have wings that cover their face because they sit in the presence of God, and wings on their back and on their feet. And listen, they sit in the presence of God, and for all eternity, here's what they do. They cry out, holy, 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 for all eternity. And I hear that, and I'm like, that sounds horrible. It does. It sounds horrible. I'm like, oh, just to sit there forever and do that? Poor things. Until I realized, man, God is infinite. He's infinite in beauty, infinite in glory. And so these creatures, they get to see new attributes of who God is. And so when you read that, you need to read it different. What you read is, holy, holy, how did you see that? Holy, right? And that's what it is. It's just seeing, that's why in the Old Testament, if you've ever read, that he's what? Jehovah Rapha. What is that? That is a new dimension of who God. Then we found, no, he's also Jehovah Jireh. Oh my gosh, he's the provider. No, he's Jehovah Shalom. He's the God of all peace, and on and on. And you should be adding to that in your life as you're experiencing new. You know who he is to me? He's Jehovah New York Sports Club Gym, because he trains with me there in that place, all right? He's Jehovah. You fill in the blank for you, but he needs to see new aspects of who he is to you. And so it's good for us to remember. And so Habakkuk, he remembers the goodness and the faithfulness of God. Let me read for you Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 5. See if you can get what he's remembering. Habakkuk 3, verse 5 says this, before him went pestilence and plague, followed at his heels. What's he remembering? The Exodus, right? The 10 the plagues in Egypt. All right, that's okay. I'm not discouraged. We're going to get this. Here we go. Habakkuk 3:8. Was your wrath against the rivers, O Lord? Was your anger against the rivers, or your indignation against the sea? What's he talking about? The Red Sea. Yes, I knew it, right? And so I got one more. Okay, this is the bonus trivia question. Habakkuk 3:11. The sun and the moon stood still in their place at the light of your arrows. They sped at the flash of your glittering spear. Do not comment, Ellen. You're not allowed to do this one. Who wants that? Starts with a J. What? Jericho, right. Well, pretty close. Joshua, right? In the promised land. We're doing well, all right? Don't be discouraged. And so we need to remember the goodness of God in our life. And what happens is suddenly the fog of disappointment and frustration, it starts to be pushed to the fringes, and we remember the goodness of God in our salvation, remembrance of the goodness of God in the Word of God, and start taking inventory of all the mercies of God upon your own life. And here's the last thing, and I'm going to call Kim and the team up to do this. Habakkuk 3, verse 1. Let me read this to you as we're starting to close here. Habakkuk 3, verse 1. This frames the song. And Habakkuk says this, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet according to Shigionoth. All right? Now, say that with me, Shigionoth. Right, right. And so it sounds like a Christian curse word, doesn't it? Turn to your neighbor and say, you look like Shigionoth today. All right? Shigionoth, it's an obscure word. They're unsure exactly what it means, but most theologians think it means this. It means to sing with passion, with enthusiasm. One of the meanings is this, to sway back and forth. See, what Habakkuk's letting us know is Habakkuk chapter 3, it's not a sad song. It's not even a love song. It's a fight song. It's a fight song. And so sometimes you have to fight to get to joy. You just do. And listen, there's a paralytic man, a man who's paralyzed, and he couldn't get to Jesus because the crowd was too great. But he didn't let that stop him. He and his friend, they ripped the roof off of this building and lowered him at the feet of Jesus. They were able to fight to get to joy. There was a woman who her whole life had an issue of blood, and she spent everything she had, and she was poor and still did not get better. But she thought, if I could just get to Jesus. And she fought through the crowd. It was inappropriate for her to do that thing. In fact, unlawful, but she didn't care. She had to fight to get to joy, to get to Jesus. And then lastly, this is my favorite, is they have the blind beggar, Bartimaeus. And he hears of Jesus coming, and this blind man begins to cry out, oh, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the disciples tell him to shut up. And you know what he did? He screamed even louder, Jesus, Son of David, you have mercy on me. And guess what? That guy.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.